Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. I'm one of your hosts tonight, Brother Nate Dunlap Jr., and also hosting is Mary Ann Williams. So tonight you're going to have son and mother tonight on the show. Adia, she is out in military training. Shatara is on a well-needed vacation, and Brother Feaster is making his transition back to the United States for his what's probably going to be his last assignment with the military. Maybe we'll see how he feels in a couple of years. But tonight here on the PRF table, we are in this monthly series of April 2015, and we're still focusing on resources. Where are the resources at in your community? Where they're at in my community, in your church, in my church? And we're actually going to be talking about from the subject of developing resources in your church. Developing resources in your church. And we've had two outstanding episodes over the last, 3 weeks so far. And we're really just narrowing down this series. So we're focusing tonight particularly on Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47, one of the foundational scriptures for PRF. And then we're also going to take a look, I mentioned it last week, and we had a little bit of dialogue about it last week, Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 36. And Mama has something that she's going to bring to you as well. We're probably going to talk about a couple of more different scriptures if we can fit it in, if God leads us. But what are we dealing with, and why are we talking about developing resources in the church? We asked that question, and I put it out there on the Blog Talk Radio site as a question, developing resources in your church, because I want people to think about what is it that we need to do within our church. And notice that I'm saying, what do we need to do within our church? Because everybody has a part to play, as we talked about last week. Everybody has a part to play in developing resources. Now, let's look at it like this, Mama. When it comes to educating a child, and we send children to first grade, we don't put all of the responsibility on the principal of that school. We know that there has to be people who have specialized in certain things. They're called teachers. Normally, teachers have some type of qualifications that they have, like educational qualifications and certifications and things of that nature. So although the principal of the school has an overall responsibility to make sure that the school is operating and meeting the goals and all the objectives that are needed, that person, whoever he or she is not the only one that's held accountable. Those teachers are doggone held accountable as well. And so what I'm bringing probably even just with that metaphor, that illustration, is that if there is only the principal in the school, then you're going to have a hard time, Jack.
Yes.
I can imagine going to Holy Angels Catholic School when I was there. And if there was only the principal of the school, there's no way in the world that the principal could be teaching the first grade, the second grade, the third, the fourth, the fifth, sixth, seventh, and the eighth grade all at one time. Wasn't going to happen. So we, as we're talking about developing resources, we're talking about a thing of education. If people really take a heed to what we're actually talking about tonight. And we talked about from 2 Kings, so we talked about the community aspect of resources and how the people came together to share their resources. We talked about it from Acts chapter 4 last week particularly, and we gave two examples. We had one example at the last part of Acts chapter 4, and then another example at the beginning of chapter 5. I want everybody to go and read that for themselves, about how individuals play a part in providing and resources that are beneficial for the whole, taking what they have, putting it out there, giving it to other folks so that other folks that are in need can have it. And so I will start off with this. Isn't it easy to look at Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, and Acts chapter 4, 32 to 36? Isn't it easy to look at that, either one of those texts, and see how there was no lack of resources? Because I think we talked about it last week. We talked about how there is no shortage of resources. We continuously are saying that here on this show, that there are no shortage of resources.
Yes.
There's other questions that need to be asked if there is the appearance or even the reality that the resources are not there. Now, so for example, if my particular church, and we talked about this, it was so good last week. If you missed it, I just implore you to go back and to listen on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. But think about it. If there is something that we need in our church that we don't have, but we need it, then there's somebody else in our community more than likely that has that resource that we're needing. So we were talking about last week, for those who aren't with us, this thing is about communication. This is how are we able to communicate with others? And I talked about how we'll give ourselves, we'll go to the bank and we'll want a car loan or mortgage or rent, and we'll fill out these applications. Trust me, that's what we do as people. You fill out these applications, put all our personal information on there, don't know who in the world is going to be seeing it, going to get it, going to be processing it. But we give all that information up because there's something that we need from that particular crediting organization or could be for a job. But we'll give it. You know what? To come work for me, you have to pass a background check. So you're going to give me everything that I need for the background check. Well, we're willing to do that for ourselves, but we have to be willing, and I'm not saying anybody's not, but we have to be willing as a church community, my church community, your church community, to be able to do it the same way, just in reverse. So if I have something and I know good and doggone well that y'all don't have it over there at your church, you're around the corner, there's a two-way street. Let me give you an example. If we have a strong children's ministry at my church, and Mama, your church is around the corner.
Yes.
Y'all don't have a strong children's ministry because everybody like 60 years old. But then all of a sudden you start getting some younger folks that start coming. And they have children because the word is good and because the people are nice and whatever the case is. And so now there needs to be something to keep those young people engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So you sitting there, I don't know what you need over there, but you know what I got over here. So it's on, the onus is now on you to say, you know what, let me come around the corner to whatever the name of Dunlap's church is that he goes to, and let's talk to them and see what can we do. Not necessarily about starting your own children's ministry, but it's around the corner, Mama.
Yes.
So if that ministry, you have the ability to come and check out what we're doing.
Right.
And as you have the ability to come and check out what we're doing, if you find it to be godly, if you find it to be of integrity and doing the things that are of God, if you find that there's people that are anointed, and if you find all that, where you would say, I don't see nothing wrong with, if I was over here, I would have my children going here. Well, it ain't about you changing churches.
Right.
It could be just as simple as, you know what, let's take our children, parents, since we don't have anything right now, take your child over there on your way coming into my church, going into your church, and then pick them up. See, this thing, it becomes about a relationship, but it can't, well, I'm not going to get into the thing that can't be. That we're going to talk about what can it be. It can work.
Right.
It can work if we're willing to put into the work. And I'm going so far ahead of myself right now, but it has to be a mindset. And this is not a a traditional biblical teaching that you're going to find in many places. But I can tell you it is of God, because it's about community. It's about us living in community with one another. It's about us loving each other. It's about doing some other things that are going to help us to be resourceful, because the time to get the resources is not the time when you need them. Amen?
Amen.
That's usually not the time. Listen, I'm down here in the South. I know because, you know, we grew up north. So I know when it gets cold, it may not snow down here frequently, but it's going to be ice on the car frequently when it gets cold. So I'm one of the ones that's smart that has an ice scraper in their car. Not just one, but I got one in the house.
Right.
Because it only makes sense, because I know that when it gets down to be 20 degrees, it's going to be ice on the car. And since it's going to be ice on the car, when I leave out the house going to work in the morning, I don't have an extra 10 minutes to try to find something to scrape it off, or necessarily to wait for the defrost to, you know, I need to just go ahead and get it off the window and keep it moving. So we want to deal with tonight about developing resources in the church. Now, we've given some practical tools last week. We talked about some things that can be done. We talked about things that leaders can do. We talked about things that people can do. So I'm not going to go back over all of those tonight. Yes. Again, go back and listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com/PRF table. It has to be practical as well as spiritual. Now, that's the point I will bring up from last week. When we're doing these things, we want to have a spiritual mindset that we're doing something. We want it to honor God. We want it to honor the people. We want it to be about service. We want it to be about ministry. All those are our spiritual attributes. Now, it's not one thing or the other. The other side of the coin, or the thing that's next door to the spiritual, is the practical. I want it to be of God, but I'm not going to get up and do anything physically. Doesn't work like that.
Right.
God is going to bless. Okay, God is going to bless. Do you, sir, do you, ma'am, have anything that you need to be doing while God is trying to bless you? So that's how we have to deal with the practical. And we talked about how, you know, look, create a resource list. Make an appointment, put somebody over it if you're the leader and you have that responsibility, and all the different ways that it can go. But tonight we're dealing with developing resources in your church. And I'm gonna continue to harp on that throughout the show, because there's no excuse for our churches in our community, the churches in my community, to be lacking the resources that it needs to be able to do the work that God has called them to do. Notice my words, very intentional. To do the work that God called them to do. Because in the big scheme of things, there may be some churches that don't have resources to do the things that they want to do, but make it seem like it's what God called them to do. See, I'm not convinced, Mama, that every church needs to have everything. We talked about that last week. God didn't give all of the same gifts, all five gifts, what we call the fivefold ministry today. God didn't give all five of those to every church. And we saw that when I came from the scripture. So since he did not give those same gifts to every church back then, what in the world makes anybody believe that he's going to give us the same resources? It is foolish for anybody to think, well, because you have children, you're going to have a children's ministry. Okay. Now what happens is people get people in place that may not be anointed for that type of ministry. Well, brother preacher, some people will say, well, you just go ahead and do it and let God bless. Okay. Go to your regular job like that. Get in your regular car like that, going to work. I see the light on. I'm going to just go ahead and drive anyway. Don't work like that. There will probably be some negative consequences Just like I was talking to you earlier today, Mom, about the light in the car about the tire. I could have got on the road with that light on, and if I would have got a flat tire or the air would have went out and I'd have had to change it, I had nobody to be mad at but myself.
Right.
Yeah. Now, granted, yes, I prayed before I got on the road, and Lord protect and keep angels over me as I drive from this place to that place. And then I say, now I got a flat tire. What happened to that prayer? God heard you. He heard me. And he said, I guess this fool really don't believe that he got something to do with making sure that he gets down there safely. Like, go get the doggone thing fixed before you get on the road, especially if you have the ability to do it. So one of the things that I wanted to do, wanted us to talk about, Mama, is when we're talking about developing resources in the church, there's a lot that goes into that word developing. And I think it's safe to say that when we talk about developing, that is an active word.
Yes.
That is something that is constantly being worked on, because none of us as individuals are that resource that don't need to continue developing.
Right.
If we are believers, or those of us who are believers, we are disciples of Christ, which means we are learners of Christ. You know what we're not? We're not called the learned ED of Christ, like we have learned what we need to know. Mm-mm. We're learners, because life is going to take all of us through ups and through downs.
Right.
And as that happens, we can't apply the same techniques every single time to every situation. So it takes us having a connection with God and with the Spirit of God. Okay, show me how I got to deal with this situation. Just like the children ministry situation I brought up before. You didn't have children. All your children been gone for all y'all that 60 and up. Y'all children been gone for 40 years almost, most of them. So there's no need to be developing necessarily a children's ministry. So you just have somebody there with one child coming in there, and we got a children's ministry. Okay, and we don't have to put that show on. We have to put that front on. But the connection with other people, that shows that we're continuously developing, because somebody may be needing to be involved with children. But let's not have the resources there, because, I mean, you're not going to put a whole bunch of money into a one-man ministry. But you got one child. You got one child that's 8 years old. And here you are, got Dunlap, youth pastor of one. Well, you can do that. Nothing wrong with that. But is the church going to put the resources into that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you going to let Pastor Dunlap still go on field trips? Go see the Civil Rights Museum if they're in Birmingham, or go to the zoo in Philly. Are you still going to put those type of financial resources into that because it's one person? We're dealing with a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the first thing that I really see is truly necessary. I see that you have to be willing to have an assessment done. And that's one of the things that we are good at with PRF, is doing assessments, because we found out over the last couple of years that as we conduct assessments, then we're able to, one, see what's going on. We're able to look at and see what needs are there, or see what needs are not there. We're able to expose things out in the open in a non-confrontational manner, a non-judgmental manner, a straight, loving manner, right? And be able to see what's missing from the puzzle.
Right.
What's not going on and what's missing. And I think those two points, I think those two points are truly critical. Now, here's the thing about the assessments. When we're talking about doing assessments, and we have several of them, we have several type of financial ministry needs assessments here with PRF. Something happens with the assessments. When you do an assessment, what comes after that is a report. There needs to be some type of evaluation conducted of the assessment in order to prepare the report. That's what we do here at PRF. So, for example, if I came to your church,
yes,
I'm going to do the pre-FMNAs. I'm going to have those administered. I want those to be done in enough time so I can have the ability to analyze that data. And so then if I see, oh, my goodness, I can see certain trends from people, and I can see if the leaders have one particular mindset and the membership have another type of mindset. Well, that gives us an opportunity to start this whole thing of conflict transformation, because we have to be able to identify what's there if we're going to do some type of transforming. If you never know that your pastor or your leaders are not concerned really with your need, or let me say it like this, they believe that you have the need, the membership, the number one need of the membership is food. Okay,
yes.
There's nothing wrong with them having that perception. But if the assessments show that the majority of the members say our number one need is transportation, but yet, you know what? I feel the Lord wants me to start a food bank. Okay? So then the question becomes, well, what are you going to do about the transportation need? See, I'm not here to say what God did not tell you to do.
Right. Uh-huh.
However, I am here to say God told you to do that. Now, can we dig deeper? You don't have to answer to me, but can we dig deeper? Did he say that's something that you needed to start right now? Was that easy for you to hear because of what you see somebody else doing around the corner? And because, was it easier to hear because you didn't have it in your ear now that the people are saying, we need transportation, we need transportation, we need transportation. So since you didn't hear that as the leader, it's not ringing in your ear. But now that you have that information presented before you, the question becomes,
right,
what are you going to do about it?
Right.
What are you going to do about it? And then the other part with the assessments, again, talking about developing resources, is some leaders may not want to know.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because when you know information, it's just like the Word of God. If we never talked about Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, you can't be held accountable for what you don't know. But once we talked about it, once we dealt with it, once you said, I got it, once it pierced your heart, oh, you ain't got no excuse, Jack. You ain't got no excuse for not to act. God is not accepting that as an excuse. So we have to be willing to, and I say we, I want the people to be willing to go through these assessments and be able to start this process of developing. Because I'm going to promise you this, it just doesn't develop resources in your church. In all practicality, in all actuality, it develops resources for the kingdom of God. But sometimes we have to start at that in Jerusalem place, right? When the word says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Just think about a bullseye. You got one thing, one dot in the middle, and then you got a line around it, and you got another line around it, another line around it. That's how this whole thing of resources needs to go out. But it has to start at home.
Yeah.
And it has to be an understanding of what do I have in the house?
Yeah.
What do I have in the house? Mama, you've just been letting me talk. So what's your thought so far? Because I do have a couple of questions that I want us to just throw out there and solicit the listeners, if you will, their responses, if anybody wants to jump in. But what's your thoughts on where we've been, talking about so far tonight?
Okay, first of all, I have to say good evening, my PLR, my possessions and resources and financial family. Glad to be with you tonight. I just have to say that. Okay, now I hope what I'm going to say is not too far from what we are discussing. I received a phone call, and in the phone call they were telling me that McDonald's is closing down 900 of their McDonald's global.
This year. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what came to my mind, I started thinking, wow, that's their resource, their job. And you know, when we're working for a purpose. We're not working because we don't have anything else to do. We're working to support, you know, our needs. So now you have 900 McDonald's, and I don't know how many people is in each one of these McDonald's, but that's going to be a whole lot of people that are going to need some resources, because it's going to mm-hmm. be more than just their compensation, which they have to wait on, you know, and it depends on, you know, where they are also. And I started thinking also about my church, and I started thinking about when I was putting my resource list together, I was just looking at all this information I have gathered, you know, even over the year, you know, over the time that I've been here for Jacksonville. So I said, I'm going to go and you know, talk to my pastor about I'm being the resource, and I can give out the information, and I can check out, you know, check out these places before I, before I give them to him, make my plan out first and do my research first and make sure that I know where, what it will offer, what the person needs, et cetera, like we were saying last week. And so that was on my mind all day today. And then when I received that phone call, I was saying, you know, this is, you know, how many people know where the resources are? Because if you're working a job, I'm working a job, I didn't really need any resources. I'm making money. So I never thought about resources. I never thought about it in the way that you're teaching it. Then all of a sudden, I don't have a job, you know. And so I don't have anyone telling me where the resources are, because they're searching too. So you have all of us out there that didn't have a job, because that's happened to me, and we don't really know which way to go. And so this is very important, because now, as you were saying, in your city, there was 400-plus people laid off. Now we're going to have mm-hmm. don't know how many laid off now, and they're going to need to know where the resources are, you know, because if they don't have resources, it's one affects the other, you know, because their possessions, you know, if they have gold and silver and things of that nature, they're going to have to sell. Then after they've used up all those, it becomes a resource then for them. The jewelry is a possession, but now it's going to become a resource. And when they use all of that, they're still not going to be in a good financial state, you know. And it's just really something to really, really think about. And so for me, I'm going to develop this plan and take accountability for it. Because I'm just hurting for these people. You know, what are they going to do? You know, what are they going to do? You know, and so when you don't have the knowledge, you know, in which I'm sure that, you know, when you're working, I mean, I didn't have the knowledge, and, you know, and I was among people, and we never talked about anything of this nature, you know, because we're happy we're getting our paycheck every Thursday, you know. But now, you know, reality sets in, and we don't know what to do or where to go. And so we are just out there, as you were saying, we go from here to there, look it up on the internet, you know, then find out we need to have this here, and then you just become so frustrated. And so it's really a sad situation when you don't have the knowledge that you need in time of need, like you said, you know. Yeah.
And I can say this is so important for those who are listening to what Mama is just talking about, because that's what PRF is about. This show, this ministry is about inspiring others and inspiring ourselves, even as the host of this show, to do better. We see that there's several challenges out here within our individual churches, within our individual lives, within our individual homes, within other people's houses. You know, yeah, you can see what's going on in other folks' houses as well. You don't have to live there to know that they got some problems, because you can hear stuff, you see it on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But when we know better, we do better. So, you know, mm-hmm. the things that we bring up on this show, it's about inspiring others. Look, do something. Do something. Ask God, what is it that you need to be doing? And I like how you said, I'm going to do my research, I'm going to get the information, and then I'll present it. Because a lot of times, depending on the type of leader that you may be, quote-unquote, sitting under, you can't just bring half-tail proposals. Can't bring me no half-tail proposal. If you come to me and say, hey, help me figure this out, but if you say, hey, I've been thinking that this is what I want to do, and you ain't done the thinking out, it doesn't work well because it says something about you. So if you're willing to do the research and to do the homework and then present something, because, again, you have to know who the leaders are among your religious organization. And if right. you got one that's like me, you don't want to bring him nothing halfway done. Doesn't mean it needs to be perfect, but doggone, I need to know. You can't come to me and say, Reverend Dunlap, I want to start a food bank. Okay, good. Lord told me to go do a food bank. Okay. Okay, well, this is what I want to do. And then you say, I don't want to put a basket outside in the front of the church and we're going to ask people. Really? That don't work from the offering every Sunday in a lot of churches.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? Well, have you thought about how you're going to distribute the food? Where is the food going to be distributed at? Now, everybody's not planners. So, again, we do this thing in love and we bring it to the table and we want to talk to other folks about it and we do it together. But we don't want to come and bring these plans that haven't even been given 25% of thought and think that the leader is going to accept it. Because you may not get that opportunity to make that presentation or to present that to them at another time. And it's the same thing with leaders. Don't come saying, you know what, we're going to put a basket out. We're going to put a basket once a month when we do offering. And we're going to do this for the homeless ministry. You already know if you're only getting $50 in offerings every Sunday. How much more do you think you're going to get?
Yes.
And is that going to be enough to say, we got a homeless ministry, we are taking care of the homeless, you got $20 in the offering plate? Let's be real.
Yes.
What you get will be appreciative, but you don't want to go to a place where homeless people are with $20 worth of stuff and you need 40 because you ain't even scoped out, okay, how many people really are out here? You come out there with 8 pairs of socks and you got 20 people that's out there all the time. But now that's not going to look good. It's not going to look good. And then the enemy will, I promise you, will use that type of thing. You know what? See, I told you it wasn't going to work anyway.
That's correct. That's true.
Yeah. So we don't want to give the enemy any foothold for when God is directing us to do things and when he's helping us to get resources in place to do the mission that he has called us to do, whatever that mission actually looks like. So I'm glad to hear that you did that or that you're starting to work on that.
Yeah.
Let me say this last point about the assessments. As we're talking about the assessments, one of the things that – let me read this to you. Some of you may have heard it before, but for those who haven't, Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip away every weight and sin that slows us down. King James says that easily besets us, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. A couple of things that are really, really key in that. The first thing is it talks about we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. So that means the things that we're doing, when we're talking about resources, right? There's people that are always looking at us. They're looking to see how are we going to do this? How are we going to maneuver with this? How are we going to deal with this particular situation? You got people that's hungry. How are we going to deal with the people that's hungry? And the thing about a witness is not always going to tell something that's going to be in your favor.
Yeah.
Because sometimes a witness is going to do nothing but tell the truth. So if we do it halfway, the witnesses will say Dunlap did it halfway. And so we don't want people to give those negative reports because we're not doing things in excellence, because we're not doing things prayerfully. We don't want that to be anywhere in the equation. Another key point about this particular text is, let us strip off every weight of sin that easily besets us, that slows us down, especially those things that trips us up easily, right? So there's a couple of things as we're dealing with this thing about an assessment to develop the resources. You have to decide, what is that weight that slows you down? You have to decide, what's that thing that's going to trip you up? Ah, so now, again, this is part of this conflict transformation piece with PRF. So now what are we talking about? Well, you tell me. Is it pride? You tell me. Is it a lack of communication like we talked about last week? You tell me.
Right.
Is it that self-absorbing power that you possess? You tell me. Is it the lack of skills to put this resource plan in place? Because you're not a good administrator, or because you don't have the people that are technically savvy to get on the internet and look at the resources if you're in a community that has a lot of resources that you can find on the internet. What about if you are somebody who is down in the country, so to speak, where you don't have a lot of technology going on, or there's not a lot of places? Well, you may need to, you know, do you want to not go out to an outlining place because there's been some disagreement there with another church or another community, and that those issues haven't been resolved? And so since they haven't been resolved, Mama, then they don't go out there. And so what it's doing is slowing down, because the people still need what they need. You still don't have what you know they need. You can't do what you need to do because you don't have the resources in your own house. You see what I'm saying? So I think that particular text, in the context that we're talking about right now, I think it could be beneficial to some of us. But again, the assessment is what brings things like this out. Because at the end of it says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. So there's no need of, and this may work well within our planning, saving our next door neighbor lesson. There's no need of starting to run the race if you haven't done the preparation for the race.
Right, that's good.
And sometimes the preparation is taking off things that's going to slow you down. Okay, let me give you an example. About a month or so ago, I started an exercise regimen doing a 90-second ab workout, that a challenge that was placed on the internet. 90 seconds, do a 100 ab workout, 100 ab exercises in 90 seconds, never letting your feet touch the ground once. It's brutal. Did it. I didn't master it. I need to get back to doing it frequently like I was before I got to, you know, almost to the point where I was like, okay, I got this thing knocked out. I'm good now. But you know one thing I realized? When I took my shoes off, it made it a whole lot easier. You may not think your shoes weigh a lot, but when you get to about 85 ab exercises and you got about 15 more to go, I promise you, those little 2 to 3 pounds, it makes a difference. It wasn't a deal breaker, but all it did was slow me down a little bit. You see what I'm saying? It's like wearing ankle weights.
Yes.
Why would I wear ankle weights trying to do leg exercises?
Right. That's good.
I may do it. I may have them on there to build some endurance, but if it starts to slow me down, then now I have to make a decision. So we want people to see, okay, what is it? We want to make sure that when we're running this race, anything that's going to hinder us from doing what we've been talking about over these last couple of months, the planning and the financial healing, if anything is there, then our prayer is that you analyze it, assess it. And sometimes this happens from a corporate perspective like we deal with, or a small group perspective like we deal with PRF.
Yes.
Mama, go ahead. please jump in. I know I've been talking, but please jump in if you have anything.
Okay, and what I was thinking about was when you said the word excellence, I just had made a note on it. When I was working, and I worked for AT&T, Bell Electronic Data Companies, now they're the top 100 companies. And when you're working for those companies, you know, you're really a number. No one has time to pamper you. You're going to be trained, and either you get the training or you don't. And I noticed it, you know, when I was working there, I just did everything just the way I was told. My boss told me to do it. I mean, I wanted to be with excellence. And I'm looking on my life now, and I know in ministry, and that's the same way that I have to be in ministry. I would want to, God is my boss. I mean, I can, you know, I mean, and it's spiritual. He's my boss. So, Why do I want to take a, well, let me just kind of do a little bit of research and get this thing together and put 10 or 20 or 100 on there and have that type of attitude when I was in extensive training? I mean, I was coming home training. I mean, I'm reading and just wanting to do my best. And it seemed as though, you know, when it comes to God's work, doing his ministry, you know, I have sometimes got really lax, and I remind myself, if you were working for the CEO of AT&T, you wouldn't have the same attitude. Why? Because you want to do it with excellence. You want him to say, good and faithful servant, so to speak, you know? And so for myself, that's why I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to have everything in order, because the word says do it decent in order. So if I'm going to be a resource, I don't want to, you know, and they come to me in the church and I'm going to put everything in a binder. It's going to be organized so that I don't have to have little bits of paper with this one, something on here, a little piece of paper with this and that there. No, it's going to be a business because this is God's business. And most important, it's ministry, because ministry is helping people. Jesus was a servant. He served, and he served with excellence. It had nothing to do with the status or title or anything, you know. And so that's the way that I want to do this ministry here. And although I have done all these works that I have done in ministry, I have done it with excellence. But I find myself being a little slack here at times, you know, with possession, resource, and finance, you know, just, you know, keeping it real, you know. And so I said, I have to do better, because this is just a opportunity that I'll never get again. And so this door was opened up for me, and I have learned much, and I have grown. So I need to continue, you know, get, like you said, get the mind, get myself focused, get disciplined, knowing that this is not about me. This is about helping someone, you know. And that's my purpose. I'm a servant of the Lord. It's not about any title I have. It's about I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm his hands and his ears, his eyes and everything. Show love. Love will draw all people to me. Show kindness, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit. Be the best that I can be. And if I'm the best that I can be where I am, God's going to help me develop myself to be even better. Amen.
Preach, mama. Preach. Mama, preach in the night, y'all. Amen. I wanted to give, before we've been going pretty strong, and I want us to just take a minute just to hear from Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, because it is going to set up what we're going to talk about next. So,
you want me to read it?
Feel free to. Go ahead, please.
Okay, this is Acts 2, 42 through 47. Okay,
yes,
and I'm reading... Okay, and I'm reading out the New Oxford Anointed Bible. Okay, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and giving the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And that's just really so awesome, because it says that, you know, there were signs and wonders there. And, you know, in Mark, it talks about, you know, as signs and wonders, you know, we shall lay hands on the sick and et cetera, et cetera. And those are signs and wonders. So when here, these were signs and wonders where everyone is together. You know, no one is not no big eyes and little eyes. Everyone is willing here, because it talks about, you know, they were generous. They wanted to give. And this is so important, because if I'm doing because somebody is telling me to do and I know that's what I need to do, then it's not going to be effective and I'm not going to enjoy doing it. But if I want to do it and I'm willing to do it and I can see the people when they're happy, you know what I'm saying, to say they don't have any food and now they're so happy and they're rejoicing. I mean, that's just, you know, you can't put a price on that. And then they were praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. So no one was envious to me. My interpretation of this was that everybody was first knowing where it came from. Hallelujah. Hey, they were praising God, and then they were having goodwill to, you know, toward all the people. That means they were all enjoying each other's company. And, you know, that's just really good. And then he said, and day by day, the Lord added to the number those who were being saved. See? So if it had been tension and, you know, strife and, you know, jealousy and all that stuff in there, God, I don't believe God would, how could he add, you know, to their number, those that needed to be saved, because our God is not a God of confusion, you know? So, you know, I think that's really, really awesome, because they saw love there. Those signs and wonders and being happy and enjoying each other's fellowship, and you're not feeling like you know, this one's in this status and this one's in this status. Everybody's just feeling like they just love and on the same plane and helping each other out. I mean, that God, then God can come in and do something there. Amen. Hallelujah.
And what you have provided, Mama, in your interpretation, how the Spirit and how the Scripture speaks to you, is not wrong. And I think that's a lot of what you said is a very common, way that a lot of people hear the Scriptures. I was away last weekend, and one of the things that I read and I was reading, doing some reading in this book, and it talked about self-care as clergy, for us as clergy. And one of the things that it said was, you know, one of the challenges, one of the things that we have to be mindful of is it's not for us to just get people to understand the Scriptures. Understand the Scriptures. Our focus is understand through the Scriptures. It's a very big difference, because I can understand a Scripture because I can quote it and I can know the historical background and all of that. But how do I look through that Scripture to see what is God saying today? What is God doing today? How is God involved in what's going on through this particular Scripture today in my life, in your life, in the life of my church? That's a little bit different. I don't hear that. Well, that's just where I'm at, though. But that's not how I hear it. You know what? Just quote the word. Okay? Well, you heard my example last week. Go back and listen to it. Just quoting Scripture does not solve all of our problems.
Right.
Quoting Scripture does not put food on the table. God may work through the Scripture, through the Word, His Word. He may do that. But when was the last time you saw manna rain down from heaven?
I haven't.
There's a whole bunch of people out in the street that's homeless.
Yes.
God's people, His people, He created them. Manna's not raining down from heaven. Our hand, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. So if that be the case, since that is the case, then that means there's something also that we have to do in concert with the Spirit of God, in concert with the Word of God, not just what he wrote, but also what he said. You got the logos, the written word, and you got the rhema word. Please, people, don't be ignorant and think that the rhema word is only going to come from what you get out of the logos word, especially when we have scripture that says all of the things could not be contained. So that lets you know you don't have everything written.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, because I want everybody to be able to see something with a couple of questions I'm going to pose. Have you ever heard or ever wondered how they got to where they was? Nobody was in need. Have you ever wondered how they got there? What about this? Do you think that all of this happened by itself? Did God do it without the people doing their part?
No.
Okay, so if the central question for tonight's show, and maybe it's going to extend over to next week, is this: what can be done to develop resources within the church so as to live as an Acts chapter 2 church? What can be done to develop resources within the church so that we can live as an Acts chapter 2 church? Or you can say as an Acts chapter 4 church. So I'm putting that question out there. So what is important for us to do is let's go back and look at what the scripture is saying. It's easy to pull out a couple of things, because normally what happens is people pull out a couple of things and they look at the end result. Look at the end result. Look at what they did. Hallelujah. There was nobody who had a need. Hallelujah. Okay.
Amen.
Can we backtrack though?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's not going to be. We got too much homelessness. We got too much poverty for us to be trying to rejoice about this, because everybody's needs are not being met. So if everybody's needs are not being met, then that means there's something going on with the resources that God has allowed us to have. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we get so excited in the church, and each day the Lord added to those who were being saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting news. Let's go back a little bit. They were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Okay? If the people didn't have what they need, they wouldn't have been. Now look what it said. Praising God and enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
See, we can praise God that God is going to provide.
Mm-hmm.
But you have, in order to enjoy something, there has to be something joyous happening.
Yes.
So praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people, the favor of the people. Well, there's a difference between favor and faith. I can through faith say, I know the Lord is going to make a way. But when the Lord makes a way, then I say, that's the favor of God. The faith is what I don't see, but the favor is what I do see. When somebody says, you know what, I was about to get kicked out, and the Lord, and somehow the check came in the mail. Okay, if a check never came in the mail, the only thing that person was doing was operating out of faith. But when that check came, they had something tangible.
Yes.
We're not talking about just one-sided. Okay, so let's go back. They worshiped together at the temple every day, comma, they met in each other's homes for the Lord's Supper, comma, and they shared their meals with great joy and enthusiasm. So they did things together.
Mm-hmm.
These things, if I may suggest, were not things that they had to do. It was things that they did out of love. I'm suggesting that. Because I'm suggesting that there was a community mindset already established in the place. Why am I suggesting that? I'm suggesting that because of why were they there? They was there for the day of Pentecost. I'm suggesting that because something else happened while they were there during this time of Pentecost. Okay, so again, let's go back. So Why did they worship together? They worshiped together. They made other songs. Well, verse 45 is key. They sold their possessions and they shared the proceeds with those who were in need. Now, we're talking about resources. It said they shared. It said they did this. They sold their possessions and shared the proceeds with those who had need. That's verse 45. You know what it did not say? They sold their possessions and they shared the proceeds with those who were in need, comma, and they gave the money to the apostles so they can take care of everything. That's not what it says. So it doesn't put that responsibility of being the resource on the leader. They didn't have, nobody had to tell them to do that. I don't know why they did it, but I don't read where they were told, this is how you have to do this, which is why I was coming from the way I was coming at us last week about when we're talking about being practical, then we're dealing with the leaders and the people. Notice the difference between verse 45 and if we looked over in Acts chapter 4. In Acts chapter 4, which is a little bit further along, more things are happening. In Acts chapter 4, verse 34, there was no poverty. It talks about there was no poverty, no poor. There was no poverty among them because the people who had land and houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to others in need. So it's not a one-sided operation. It involves everybody. So you saw the people bringing it to the apostles. They sold what they had. They brought what they received from the proceeds, and they gave that to the apostles. So they converted it into money, and they gave it to the apostles. The problem wasn't for them. The apostles to just go ahead and spend it like they wanted it to. Did anybody hear me? It wasn't for the leaders to go and spend it on what they wanted to do. It was for to give the people that was in need. So if we are talking about we want to be an Acts chapter 2 or an Acts chapter 4 church, then there needs to be a priority about giving to folks who have need.
Mm-hmm.
But can I back up a little bit? You can't do any, you can't give what you don't have. So if the people didn't give, then the apostles wouldn't have had it to give to those who had it in need.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Go back over to chapter 2. I don't know what all the apostles were doing. Oh, yes, I do. What did it say the apostles were doing? I know I said 42 to 47, but let's go up a little bit. They joined together with the apostles, with the believers, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, sharing in the Lord's Supper and in prayer. So if they're focusing on the teaching, then the practical part of sharing resources was not their primary focus. It was teaching the Word of God. It was teaching them. So what happened? The apostles performed miracles and the signs and wonders, and all the believers met together constantly and shared everything that they had. The believers did that. It didn't say the apostles. If it was meant to say the apostles, it would say the apostles, but it said all the believers. Again, I am pressing us, those of you who are listening, that this is a joint venture. This whole thing about ministry and resources is a joint venture. It is not on the leaders. It is not on the people. We all have a part to play in. So again, did God do it without the people doing their part? Absolutely not. He did it with the people.
That's good.
He did it with the people. The other part is this, Mama.
Yes, uh-huh.
Can you imagine having a resourceful mindset as an individual? Can you imagine having a resourceful mindset as a church? Can you imagine having a resourceful mindset as a community of churches? Next question. As a leader, have you asked the people what they need? Important questions. things that could come out from an assessment, things that can come from the beginning of an assessment, or it can come on the backside of the assessment. But these are kind of questions that we look at with PRF. Because if something is not working, then we need to find out what is not working. And if you don't think that there is something not working, you think everything is going well, you may find out that there's some things that you think are working well that are not working well.
That's right.
And so if you find out there's some things that you believe are working well that are not working well because you believe one way and the people believe another, or the people just say, oh, whatever, I ain't going to participate in this. I'll just do surveys. I'll just do the assessment just because Pastor asked me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nobody's going to listen to me. Ain't nobody listened to me in the last 45 years with the last two pastors, so why am I going to do anything right now?
Right.
People have, there's these, I'm telling you, trust me, in teaching this, I hear a lot of things. So this is not all stuff that's just coming just from my mindset. The challenge, again, is it goes deeper than us just reading and understanding the text. It's understanding through the text, understanding through the scripture. And I think when we talk about with this mindset, we can go to Romans chapter 1 and 2, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world. You know, one of the things about being conformed to this world means, which so often it just seems like it gets missed. Being conformed to this world, one of the things that you can say, well, what do you mean about to get understanding about that particular text and how it applies, what's something that could be this thing of conforming to this world? Mediocrity. The world doesn't operate in a superior mindset. Mediocrity is accepted. You know how I know that? Because look at some of our educational school systems. Mediocrity is accepted. When I go and I see certain seminaries or Bible college and says, oh, you can get as long as you got a 2.0, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? A 2.0? You can't even graduate certain colleges with a 2.0 average. And you talking about graduating with a doctorate degree or a master's in something in a seminary? Are you kidding me? That's conforming to the world.
Mm.
Well, as long as you got the right spirit, well, you can have the right spirit without the piece of paper. But if you're going to be engaged in that type of thing, let's not water it down. There's some work, like we said last week, there's some work to be done. And I think that when we look at these two texts that we just talked about in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, let's go to Acts chapter 4. All the believers were of one heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. They shared everything they had. And what did the apostles do? The apostles were the ones giving the powerful witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, and God's great favor was upon them all. So you saw what the believers were doing, and you saw what the apostles was doing. Working together in unity makes things happen. God's favor came upon them, I'm saying, from my interpretation of this, because of what the people did and what the leaders did, what the apostles did. Then the next verse says, there was no poverty among them, because those who had owned land or houses sold them and brought the money to the apostles to give to the others who had need. Now, that is such a powerful statement in itself, but can I share this with you? We're talking about developing resources. The one who sold their land and their possessions, their houses, could they have done that if they didn't own it?
No, they couldn't. They had to own it.
Yeah. You can't sell a car that you have a loan on and you're paying monthly and you got $7,000 left on that car, you can't sell it and not give the bank their money.
That's right.
And think that it's going to be free and clear. Nah, you can sell it and you cannot give them the money. That's your choice. But that $7,000 is going to stay on your credit, and there's going to be extra fees that's going to come upon that when they go through collection procedures because you still owe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's person
correct.
Still owes that money. So, again, they have a choice. They have an opportunity to do it how they want to do it, which is what was going on in Acts chapter 5. It's your choice. But I'm encouraging, let us make the choice of not Ananias and Sapphira.
Right.
Let's not make that choice, but let's make the choice of Barnabas, and let us all give to these causes of the people who have need. But again, developing resources, it starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're going to get to it tonight. It may work better, Mama, talking next week from
what.
From the Corinthians chapter 12, dealing with the spiritual gifts.
Okay.
It may work well better talking next week from that, as we have the last show for the month. I think that's going to really set this whole series apart, if you will. We have to be in a mindset of developing resources. And notice that these two texts that I came from tonight was not about what one side of the coin did.
Right.
Because look at it like this. The ones who had, they gave to the ones who didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just, I don't believe that they were just one-time resources.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe they were one-time resources. I mean, let's be honest. If I had a house and I sold the house and I took the money and I gave to somebody in need, then I don't no longer have that possession anymore to convert to finances or to convert to a resource. I don't have that anymore.
Yes, right.
So now what happens is it becomes a responsibility, hopefully, not in a judgmental or a convicting way or a compulsive way. But if I have a house and I sell it and I give the money to the people who need it, okay, next time somebody's in need, then somebody else needs to be there, waiting in the wind. See, this thing doesn't say. I'm gonna tell you what I would love to believe. I'm just taking some liberty here. I would love to believe that as other people got it, were in need. Other people's need, the ones who were in need, those needs may have. I want to believe in my heart so much that other people's needs were met when whatever was sold from the people who gave it was no longer there. So I don't want to believe that this was just a one-time offering for the five people who had a need, and then when other people had a need, nobody did anything. I don't want to believe that I can't even fathom that in my own spiritual mind, Mama.
No, I can't either.
I can't fathom that. Oh, no, we not going. I can't see it. You know why I can't see it? Because in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4 is not there. They continued it on. That's the first instance of continuing to do that thing, which we know now is something that was in their hearts in order for them to help the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem hard to me. So there has to be a conscious mindset, in my opinion, a conscious mindset of constantly us being the church is as a resource for helping people's needs.
Okay.
Let's take what you said at the top of the hour, Mama, about the individuals from McDonald's. Those people may get severance packages. Those people may go on to find other jobs. Those individuals may be college students that, oh, well, semester's almost over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be their career choice,
right? Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean just because the job is over that they're going to be totally destitute.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's in a community where, like the 426 people in my community, if that be the case, then there needs to be some people standing there waiting in the wind to be able to help. Or the storehouse, which so many people have been given, especially when it comes to tithes, if tithes bring all the tithes into the storehouse, then the storehouse should have the resources that's needed. It should have the resources that need it. If you live in a place that has volcanoes, you already know you got to have emergency equipment.
Yes.
In case the volcano erupts. They don't have to go online trying to buy stuff when they get a word that, you know what, tornado's rumbling, can't you hear it? They don't do that. People who live up in the mountainous areas, they don't wait till a day before the snowstorm come. No. They constantly have canned goods. They constantly have batteries. There's things that are constantly there. There's resources, these possessions. They're possessions, but they're resources when they need them.
Mm, that's good.
So we must have a mindset. We must have a mindset about being resources as individuals, as churches, and as a community of churches. I don't know where it starts for any of you that's out there listening. It may start, you know what, I need to start with me being a resource. Or maybe somebody out there listening where, you know what, my church, we got too much going on up in here for us not to be as resourceful as we need to be. Or maybe some pastors out there saying, you know what, I know I have this, I know that can be a benefit over there. I know we have 14 deacons on the deacon board in that one church where half the church done left because the pastor left or because they got rid of the pastor, whichever one they did, that happened, and there ain't but one deacon there. You know what? We got 14 here. 14 deacons ain't deacon every Sunday. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Chairman, I know y'all have pastor right now, but, you know, could you use two or three for a little while until... Yeah, because what will happen there, you'll see people now saying, let's go back to this cloud of witnesses. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Dunlap, did Deacon Jones, Deacon Smith, Deacon Brown, did they leave church? No, they didn't leave. They're over there helping Pastor Williams' church over there because, you know, they only have one deacon over there. Now that cloud of witnesses starts to say, you know what? Man, look at what they're doing. And it's not about it's not about this grandstanding. It's, man, that starts to get people to think. Especially when you ask the question, well, why? So now we start entering into a dialogue. And then we start bringing this thing out because this is how God would want it. He would want us to sit here stacked with 14 deacons and you got one over there that's trying to hold things together in the congregation. Wow. So when people start talking a bunch of foolishness, then you got something positive to say. Nah, well, you know, we may not all be together as pastors, but me and Pastor Williams over there, this is what we're doing. You don't read that in the scripture, but that's how the Rhema spirit, the Rhema word of God comes. That's a spirit thing. So if you're looking for everything to be written down in this book, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I pray you get it. God speaks in so many ways. It's up to us to listen. Mom, I'm done for tonight. You had anything else that you wanted to bring before we shut it down for this evening?
Okay. I just love this statement here, because I've never heard it before. Understanding the scripture. How did you say understanding through the scriptures?
As clergy, we have. I'm saying we have a responsibility. A lot of people are. A lot of people understand scripture. That's not the issue.
Right.
It's not an issue about most people understanding the scripture. But
right.
The task that I say us as clergy, and or us as religious educators, one of our tasks even though you're not going to find this as a written scripture and verse in the book of God, in the Word of God. But our task is to help people to understand through the scriptures versus just having an understanding of the scriptures. It makes no sense for you to be able to quote all 66 books of the Bible. But when somebody says, well, what does unity look like to you? You can quote all 66 books of the Bible, but you can't give me any illustration about what unity looks like with God and with us in community with God and with each other. But you can do that. You can say, this is how this thing operates in Acts chapter 2. This is what a community looks like. And then this is what God is showing me about resources. Because they were resources. That brings us to a whole deeper level. This ain't seminary training. This is just getting understanding through the scriptures what God is trying to say to us and what he's trying to say to you and your community. So we have a responsibility not just to help people understand the scriptures, but to understand or to gain understanding through the scriptures.
That's good. That's real good. I like that.
So, Mama, next week we are going to come back next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and when we come back, we're going to deal with resources from an individual perspective, and we're going to come from Corinthians. And I know last year we had a show talking about PRF and spiritual gifts, but this is dealing with it from a different angle. This is strictly looking at the gifts that God has given to the church as resources.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So this is we're pulling from tonight's episode, developing resources in your church.
Right.
And there has to be something that's going on to develop resources. And when we're talking about resources, we're talking about individuals. To develop individuals in your church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a scripture and verse, but I know as clergy that I have a responsibility to help as a leader. I have responsibility to develop people in the church. Mm-hmm. So this word resources can be synonymous. I'm just going into next week already. This word resources is synonymous with people. So we want to operate as an Acts chapter 2 if you want to. You may be happy not acting like an Acts chapter 2 church. That's fine for you. But if you want to, then there's going to have to be some developing of people in your church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some things that have to happen and some things that need to be there in order to develop them. And there's certain people that need to be involved in the process of developing them. I think it's going to be good next week, Mama. I think it's going to be good.
Yes.
Well, my brothers and my sisters, we thank you so much for being with us. We are we're going to head out for this evening. We hope we've given you just some things to think about. We hope that God has spoken to you through what he has given to us. Go on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and put some questions out there if you like. We'd love to answer and have a conversation with you throughout the week. And also visit our website. Our website is prfministry.org. prfministry.org. A lot of good things are happening in the PRF world, and we'll share with you next week what PRF is going to look like in the month of May. So until then, we just say God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Mama, I love you. We will talk to you soon.
Love you too.